Tomorrow is Friday the 13th. For the superstitious among us, it is considered the most unlucky day of the calendar year. Now, for those of you who like to lean into the weird and wild on the 13th, whether you believe it's got a curse or not, we thought we would take a look at some of the strange and spooky things you can do in Massachusetts, because it turns out Massachusetts is kind of weird. So here to help us with that, Jeff Bellinger, author of Weird Massachusetts and host of the podcast New England Legends. Jeff, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So it kind of begs the question, Jeff, how weird are we? Are we a weird state?
We were perfectly fine until about 10,000 years ago when people arrived, and it's pretty much been downhill ever since.
It's a total weirdness fest, right?
Yeah, it's just getting weirder and weirder, for sure.
All right, so you have dedicated years to learning about New England folklore. What is the weirdest thing you have ever come across in your hunt?
That's not fair. I mean, my goodness, we've got so much weird. We've got monsters and ghosts, and we've got odd history, and we've got people that like to put up roadside oddities. I mean, I can't pin one thing down. It's an impossible question. You've stumped me right out of the gate. It's not even fair.
All right, so let's talk about a roadside oddity, because you brought a bunch of stuff that people could visit in the wild and weird, and one of them is Pony Henge and Lincoln, kind of like Stonehenge and kind of not at all like Stonehenge. So tell us a little bit about Pony Henge.
Exactly like Stonehenge, if it was made out of little kids' ponies that you know, on the springs that you ride. So Ponyhenge, this legend goes all the way back to the year 2010, when when we all had, you know, slightly longer hair. So these owners of this land right on the side of the road put out their kids' little pony horse and thought, well, maybe some other children would want to play on it. And pretty soon another neighbor put one out and another neighbor put one out. And it became a thing. And then more and more started showing up. And so they would arrange them in circles, either chasing each other or facing inward. And more people kept dropping off these toy ponies. And it, over time, it just became this mysterious place. It moves around. And now at this point, so many get dropped off. When the old ones get a little ratty, they get brought to the dump. New ones come in. And it's become this collective thing.
And a photo op, if nothing else. You could drive by it and stop and, I mean, take one heck of a picture.
It's a must-do selfie when you're driving by, for sure.
All right. I want to hear about the Bridgewater Triangle.
Sure.
So, and I was like, wait, figuratively, literally, is this like Bermuda Triangle? Are there airplanes disappearing near Bridgewater? So tell us about the Bridgewater Triangle.
So the Bridgewater Triangle is a, yes, it's certainly back when triangles were all the fashion, including the Bermuda Triangle. Back in early 1980s, Lauren Coleman, who's an author, sort of noticed a large amount of weirdness in this region where you've got Bridgewater in the north near the Hockomock Swamp, down to Freetown in the southeast, Rehoboth in the southwest, about 200 square miles. And there were Bigfoot sightings there and UFO sightings there. There were cult murders, Carl Drew in Freetown State Forest in the 1980s. Just more and more things started to add up. And the more he found, the more people shared well-documented UFO sightings and things like that. And so over time, it became a thing and everybody started to notice it. A documentary film came out about, oh gosh, like 10 years ago, about the Bridgewater Triangle. And now suddenly more and more people are talking about it. And so it's just like the Bermuda Triangle. I don't know if you've ever flown through or taken a boat through or anything like that. When you're in it, you suddenly become aware and anything weird gets identified with the region you're in. So like you've got the redheaded hitchhiker, Route 44, this ghostly disheveled guy that's been seen thumbing a ride right on the Rehoboth Seekonk line. So many strange stories. Annawan Rock, where the King Philip's War ended, just a couple miles from where the people have seen this ghost. So many strange stories just seem to be more than its share in this one region.
And why do you think that is? As a studier of the weird, why do you think that is?
Because at some point, when someone tells you this land is cursed or something weird is going on, you start to pay more attention. Now, that area happens to be the epicenter of the King Philip's War, which is our nation's forgotten war. And it's this horrible, bloody conflict that wiped out close to 80% of the indigenous population, maybe 25% of the colonial population. And we don't ever talk about it. But that was the epicenter. And Annawan Rock was where the surrender actually happened. So I think it's almost like this stain that sort of gnaws at us from the past.
All right. So this is almost a clunky transition, because I'm going to pick up on UFOs after a very serious war. But when you talked about the Bridgewater Triangle, one of the things that you talked about was UFO sightings, et cetera. And in your collection of the weird and spooky for us for Friday the 13th, I was really struck by the fact that there is a UFO encounter that has been deemed, quote unquote, historically true, which honestly, I didn't even know you could like do that, right? So talk a little bit about that and the location you can go see where there used to be a covered bridge where this historically true UFO encounter happened.
By the way, the person you quote unquoted just a second ago was your previous guest, Governor Charlie Baker.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
All right.
So too bad he's moved along because this would be great to get his comments. So 1969, nine-year-old Tom Reed and his family are driving along in Sheffield, Massachusetts, way out on the other side of the state. And he claims he saw a UFO and his family was abducted. He was not the only person to see this UFO that night. Other people in town did as well. And whether you believe in them or not is irrelevant. At some point around 2014, the Great Barrington Historical Museum said, "We deem this as an event of significance in our town, and we want to talk about it." And Tom Reed, being an enterprising guy, said, "Let's put up a monument." And he went to Governor Baker's office and asked for a citation, the things that they give out all day long. I'm sure they hardly even read them. And basically, it wasn't saying UFOs are real or not real, but to quote it, "Your dedicated service to the incident was factually upheld, founded, and deemed historically significant and true by means of Massachusetts historians." Those are the governor's citation award. And so Tom Reed went and put up this monument that he paid for. And I was there the day he put it up. Right by the covered bridge in Sheffield that goes over the Housatonic River.
So you can go out there and see it now, the Tom Reed.
I don't know. It's been moved and removed, and people have argued about it since about 2 minutes after he placed it. The arguments have continued, and it's because people get so angry about there's no such thing. There is a such thing. I believe him. I don't believe him. It's all irrelevant at this point. When I say Roswell, what do you think about?
Aliens.
Right? You think about aliens. And I think Sheffield is well on its way to being the Roswell of Massachusetts.
All right. That is a line that I will remember. Sheffield is well on its way to being the Roswell of Massachusetts. Okay. We got maybe a little more than a minute left. I want to hit one more because the pictures on this are insane. An entire house, including the furniture, made out of paper in Rockport. So give us a quick rundown on that one.
Yeah, Rockport. And built by the guy, Ellis Stenman, back in 1922, started as a hobby. He designed the machine that makes paper clips. How perfect is that? So he began to build a house made of paper.
Newspapers, right?
Newspapers, right. He thought newspapers would be good insulators, keep the house warm. But then he started rolling them up and sealing them and making furniture like desks and chairs. And the entire house is made of paper. And for just $2, you can go check it out.
How is it not the most flammable thing ever made, ever?
I'm sure it's the local fire marshal must be there daily checking it out because it seems like a fire hazard to me. But I love when people are eccentric. They do something weird that sticks out and we all talk about it and we want to become part of the story. We want to see Ponyhenge. We want to go see where the UFO may or may not have landed. And we want to see where some guy spent years and years of his life building a house made of paper.
Have you sat on any of the chairs?
I have not.
All right. That is Jeff Bellinger, author of Weird Massachusetts and host of the podcast New England Legends, bringing us some of the weird and wonderful that you might want to go see to mark Friday the 13th tomorrow. Jeff, that was a lot of fun. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.